Amen. All right, check this out. In Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, eight families have filed a lawsuit against the school district and is requiring students to learn about alternatives to the theory of evolution. Parents are suing the school district because they want to say, hey, there's other origins of life out there. So parents are suing. Parents are suing them, right? For a school district to even do that, that's incredible. That, okay, at least they get something besides evolution. But the parents are saying that. Now watch this. The ACLU. Now how many of you guys realize what that stands for? The American Communist Lawyers Union is really what it should be called. Okay. They jumped in and they challenged whether public schools should teach, listen, intelligent design, which holds that the universe is so complex that it must have been created by some higher power. Well, duh. Now watch this. The Dover Area School District voted 6-3. So this is the school district, voted 6-3 to include intelligent design as an alternative. They didn't say get rid of evolution, which they should, but didn't say that. It's just, we just want to include, we voted 6-3, yes, include intelligent design in the ninth grade school science curriculum. But the ACLU contends that intelligent design is a biblically based view that credits the origins of species to God. And one of the parents that were bringing the lawsuit expressed concern that the school board would, listen, mandate the teaching of, quote, something that isn't accepted as science. Wow. You got to, really? So we're talking about intelligent design. If you were here last week, intelligent design, as we just got started, how could these people say that intelligent design is not science or scientific when all that we looked at outside the scripture was what? Scientific information. So how is this not science? How is this not scientific when that was the whole basis of the argument, okay? Now, and as we saw last week, Satan protects his live evolution with vengeance. Remember that? And he does. He's got hirelings, right, all over the place, in schools, the media, Hollywood, you name it. He's out there. And since it's not based on true science, and you got to have more faith to believe in that than in the evidence and certainly the biblical account, then what do they have to prop it up on? Lies. And the reason why people believe in evolution primarily is because you repeat a lie loud enough, long enough, and often enough, people believe it. That's it. That's all they got. Right? And they never get challenged because they don't offer or allow alternatives. And that's why we need to get equipped on this issue. But one of those hirelings is this guy, Bill Nye the Science Guy. Bill Nye the Science Guy. His name should be Bill Lie the Science Guy or the No Science Guy. Because this guy tells a bunch of lies, and he promotes this, and they just lie and lie and lie because they don't have any truth, because it's not true. Evolution is not true. And not just the scriptural account, but again, as we're seeing, we're just getting started. Not even on the scientific account. It falls on all of its legs, but they prop it up with a lie. But this guy is one of the biggest liars out there, and I quote, for example, Bill Nye makes it sound like science has discovered fossil layers all over the earth that are neatly stacked on top of one another with less evolved creatures in the earlier layers and more advanced creatures in the upper layer. How many guys are familiar with that? It's called the geologic column. The geologic column exists only in one place, in the textbooks. It is nowhere on planet Earth. Nowhere. It's a lie. So that's lie number one. He also made, listen, the incredible claim that you cannot find a single fossil in the wrong layer, right? Now, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll eventually get into this, probably have a whole study on this. But they basically say, well, see, when you look at all the dead animals buried in the dirt, now stop right there. If there really was a worldwide flood that covered the whole earth and all of life died, except for what was outside, you know, in the ark, right, then what would we expect to be buried all over the earth? Millions of dead things buried in rock layers all over the earth, right? Does anybody know what we find? Millions of dead things buried in rock layers all over the earth. And what you see is with the order of animals that are there, it's based on density. It's actually a drowning order. But they want to say, well, it started off with this little amoeba, this little plant thing. Well, no, they were in the ocean. That's why they're at the bottom, right? And they say, well, it progressed over millions of years and millions. No, it's not. But even their column that exists nowhere on earth, because it's not true, only in the textbooks, it doesn't even work. They're lying. And I quote, Bill Nye said, you cannot find a single fossil in the wrong layer. And one guy says this exhibits such a complete ignorance of what the fossil record actually shows
He says he should have been laughed off the stage. And it's the exact, listen, exact kind of anti-intellectualism that Bill Try warns to warn people about, that we're the ones who are being anti-intellectual, checking our brains at the door. Now, listen to this. This is Dr. Donald Burge. He is not a creationist. He's an evolutionist. But at least he admitted the truth. He's a vertebrate paleontologist in Utah. And he says, listen, mammal fossils are found in nearly every dinosaur dig that it's ever been associated with. Whoops. What's mammals doing with dinosaurs? I thought that was 65, 70 million. Right. And according to him, he says this. He says, not only that, a whole host of other modern creatures are also in dinosaur rock layers. Ducks, squirrels, platypus, beaver, badger-like creatures all been found. Bees, cockroaches, frogs, and pine trees. Quote, most people don't picture T-Rex walking around with a duck flying over the head, but that's what the fossil record shows. In fact, he says, and this is the evolutionist guy, he found a total of 432 different mammal species that have been identified in rock layers containing dinosaurs. The whole thing's a lie, folks. It gets even worse. And so the guy says, so does that mean that mammals have been around for tens of millions of years? No. What it means is, based on the science and what we find observable in the rocks and buried dead, that the evolutionists have been dating dinosaurs has to be fundamentally flawed. It's wrong. And it is. On top of that, furthermore, most people don't realize that T-Rex bones have actually been discovered that still contain soft tissue in them. Soft tissue still in T-Rex bones. If those bones were millions of years, that would be impossible. So the point is this. If this guy, Bill Nye, wants to believe in evolution, that's his choice. It's America. We're supposed to be a free country. Unless, of course, you try to post anything against the government or that issue and all the other stuff, or talk anything negative about the White House. I just did an interview on the White House and the occult that's in that. First time ever. YouTube's been doing this for a long time. First time ever. As soon as I posted up the interview, immediately, I don't even think it took 3 seconds, immediately was banned and deleted by Facebook. It's getting bad. But if he wants to believe in it, hey, this is America, you're supposed to have the right. But listen, here's the point. But you need to stop calling it science. Science is supposed to be what we can observe. Nobody has ever seen evolution take place. You can't see it in the fossil record, and you don't ever see it in the laboratory. So it's a lie, right? And one person said this. In the end, Bill Nye is actually fulfilling Bible prophecy. 2 Peter 3 told us this 2,000 years ago. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And they'll say, where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget. What's that? Deliberately forget. What do you mean when somebody, you don't just forget, you deliberately forget. What's that mean? Dumb on purpose. You would rather believe something dumb. You would rather believe a lie than admit that God is real. And that's what it says. They deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, he created all things. By God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Quote, Bill Nye can scoff at the Bible all he wants, but he can never change the truth. Amen. And what is the truth? That we were created by an intelligent God for an intelligent purpose. And the sad thing, dare I say, the dangerous thing, is the people like the ACLU, those parents, Bill Nye, the Bible says these people are in a heap of trouble with God. Because when you have to use lies and pressure and lawyers to keep a lid on your lie, what is that called? You're suppressing the truth. And what did we see last time? Those who suppress the truth of God's existence, you are storing up the wrath of God. And how many guys would say, that's probably not a good thing to do? Maybe get a different hobby, something, maybe, possibly? Yeah. And that's why we're in order to help these people to receive the grace of God instead of the wrath of God. We're going to continue in our study, The Witness of Creation. Now, what we're doing is taking a look at 5 different evidences of creation that God has given us to show us that he's not just real, but the great news is all that, hey, guess what? We really can have a real relationship with God, the creator of the universe. Isn't that mind-blowing? I hope it never gets old. It still hasn't gotten old for me, 31 years ago when it happened for me. Now, we saw the first evidence we've been taking a look at is the evidence of an intelligent creation. Again, that was Romans chapter 1. Through the light of his creation, God shows us his invisible qualities, his eternal nature through what he has made. It shows you. Why? Because designing something implies a designer. So we began our journey all the way from the telescope and eventually down to the microscope. All creation, just like Romans 1 said, shows the handiwork of God. You got no excuse. You can look from a tree to a flea to a bee to you, me, wherever you go, bacteria. Hey, it all shows the handiwork of God. Now, the first evidence we saw was the evidence of the universe. And we took a look at just nine. There's a lot more than this, folks. But for the sake of time, I just dealt with nine facts about our universe that showed us it not only was, but it had to be intelligently designed. Any one of these things out of order, it's all precisely time, right? Then you can't have life. And that's not just one, that's nine. And there's a lot more than that, okay? And it showed us that we had to be, the universe was intelligently designed. And that implies what? A designer, right? And anybody who's not a few peas short of casserole comes to that conclusion, as we saw, right? But listen, these people, again, Satan protects his lie with a vengeance, right? These people have demonstrated that they are completely deficient on peas in their casserole, period. Because now they've come up with another lie. This is the latest lie that they've come up with to try to explain away the design features that we see even in the universe. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called the multiverse. Heard of that? It's getting very popular nowadays thanks to, once again, Hollywood that is promoting this in young kids' minds. Okay? And they say that, oh, no. The reason why we see design has nothing to do with God. No. It's just there's this mysterious universe-making machine out there that never stops popping out new universes, and it's bound to show something once in a while. I am not joking. This is the latest excuse to try to explain away intelligent design. Watch this.
So most today are increasingly moving to a solution called the multiverse. And indeed, this is quickly becoming the consensus view. What is a multiverse?
The multiverse. They imagine a universe generator that cranks out such a vast number of universes that odds are life-permitting universes will eventually pop out. However, there's no scientific evidence for the existence of this multiverse. It cannot be detected, observed, measured, or proved. And the universe generator itself would require an enormous amount of fine-tuning.
They're saying there's an infinite number of you out there. Same name, same memory, same life as you've had. Are you a unique individual created in God's image anymore, according to this view? If there's an infinite number of you out there, how valuable are you now? You probably find this idea strange and implausible, yet it looks like we'll just have to live with it, since the simplest and most popular cosmological model today predicts that this person actually exists in a faraway galaxy. This is becoming mainstream in cosmology now. These are just some of the popular level books being written about it. And here's a key point, something I just added to this presentation recently. Your children are hearing about this now. Marvel movies have the multiverse. The latest Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man is confronted with alternate copies of himself from other universes. And this other one, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. I have some friends that are teachers in a Christian school. They say the kids are talking about multiverse now and discussing it like it's a real thing because of this stuff. So this isn't just some hypothetical thing, and it's not just some crazy idea that scientists are talking about. This is getting into the popular culture now. There's an infinite number where we're all British subjects because the 13 colonies lost the revolution against King George III. No, I'm serious. Every possible permutation of history you can think of is out there an infinite number of times because even the most unlikely events must take place somewhere. Now, the Bible says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." If the Big Bang and the multiverse theory combined were good scientific models, they would produce good scientific fruit. But if they were bad models, then they would produce bad fruit or even absurdity. So let's look at some of the implications of this and see which way it goes. Multiverse says that there are infinitely many other regions the size of our observable universe where every possible cosmic history is played out. Well, that means, among other things, that Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock are real people. Right? They're out there an infinite number of times. Every science fiction movie you've ever seen is real, even the really painfully cheesy ones. because even the most unlikely events must take place somewhere, right? This author wasn't writing about the multiverse specifically, but it has the same logic to it. He was talking about the fact that dinosaurs on Earth got wiped out, according to his view, by a freak asteroid collision. If we go elsewhere and encounter dinosaurs, they wouldn't necessarily have done that. So he said such life forms could well be advanced versions of dinosaurs out there if mammals didn't have the good fortune for the dinosaurs to be wiped out. We would be better off not meeting them. Well, this is true because there's nothing worse than running into a dinosaur with better weapons than you have, right? But if the multiverse is real, isn't this real? If the multiverse is real, in fact, there's an infinite number of universes where humans are fighting dinosaurs right at this moment. But is this science or just science fiction? Well, if the multiverse is real, this is a documentary.
You'd rather believe in that. Literally a made-up science fiction story. No proof, no evidence. Well, you'd rather believe in that than to admit there is intelligent design that logically implies a designer God. You deliberately forget. You're just scoffing. You don't want there to be a God because the scripture says you want to follow your ungodly desires. And this is your intellectual way, which is anti-intellectual because it's ridiculous. But this is the latest thing. This is the latest thing that they're propping it up, and kids are being brainwashed with it. Notice what he said? Even at a what? Christian school. Because the power of media, folks. Got to pay attention. But that was just the universe, the first one. The second evidence we saw, the evidence of an intelligent creator designing our intelligent world, was the evidence of our solar system. And there we just saw a handful of facts, as you can see there, right? Showing us that, again, as we move in closer, all the way from the telescope down to the microscope, it's all intelligent design. In the universe, we saw it's like a city in the sky. In our solar system, it's a watch. Watches don't make themselves, right? They come from a watchmaker. And everything is finely tuned. All it takes is any one of these to be just slightly out of line, and there is no life. Everything is finely tuned, intelligently designed. That's what we saw. Anybody who's not acting like their wheels are spinning, but their hamster's not done dead, shows that, guess what? Romans chapter 1's right. Nobody's got an excuse. You're not going to stand before God and say, I just didn't have enough evidence. Yes, yeah, you did. Did you see the watch I made up there? Did you see that giant city up there? Did you see anything? It's all intelligently designed. But John, I'm still preaching, so guess what?
There must be more.
There must be more, and there is. The third one we're going to take a look at is as the Earth. Now, again, what's our journey? From the telescope, the outer perimeter, all the way down to the microscope. So we've already done the universe, the solar system, and now, how many guys right now are on planet Earth? Raise your hand. Praise God. The rest of you are freaking me out. I don't know what you are. I don't know who you are. Maybe you came here from the multiverse. I don't know. But we'll move on. The Earth, right? Now, before we get into that evidence, but first of all, you need to do this. This is one thing that they denigrate, right? Because you and I may not have the power of owning a telescope. You and I may never have gone to school to learn math and astrophysics. And astronomy, to be able to see the mathematical uniqueness of how God finely tuned. But praise God, we have Christians that have and can bring us this evidence. And we say, no, everywhere we go is intelligent design. Maybe we don't have that privilege, but we're all on planet Earth. And so that's why Earth is attacked. Earth is made to sound like, from these liars, these evolutionists, that it's just nothing. It's just the third rock from the sun. No big deal. This is just a rock floating out of nowhere. There's no existence. You got no reason for existence. Earth is just complete happenstance. It just evolved over millions and billions of years. And we all know there's tons of life out there. Lie number one. Let's take a look at that.
Both sides agree that the universe holds many galaxies with many suns, stars, and probably planets as well. Can our Earth be so special among them all? What does the evidence show? Let's see what we can find. Scientist Carl Sagan once asked, "Who are we?" We find that we live on an insignificant planet of a humdrum star, lost in a galaxy tucked away in some forgotten corner of a universe in which there are far more galaxies than people. Billions and billions of suns, stars, planets makes you feel rather insignificant. And it all began, the secular scientists say, with a bang.
The Big Bang Theory assumes that there are no special places in the universe. That everything around us is the result of a cosmic accident with no planning and no purpose. So if life evolved here and the conditions are not special, then surely life can evolve elsewhere, right?
Secular scientists say that life ought to be very common in the universe because they argue, well, if life evolved here, it must have evolved somewhere else. The real issue is, do the laws of physics and chemistry in our universe permit spontaneous generation? Do they permit life to come from non-life? And all of our observations, all of our scientific observations are indicating that the answer is no.
They might find a planet that has, it's in the right sort of zone for liquid water. The Kepler-22b, for example, that particular planet that's been discovered, they think it's roughly in that habitable zone. My secular colleagues are very excited about finding evidence of water in space, especially liquid water.
They very much want to find liquid water because you need liquid water for life. And basically, they have this idea that finding water is almost the next best thing to finding life. But really, that's fallacious because even though life needs liquid water by itself is not enough to have life.
But you see, my secular colleagues believe that wherever you find water, there's a good chance that life will evolve. And that's where I differ with my secular colleagues, because I believe that God created life on this world, and we've not seen any good evidence to the contrary. It's important to recognize that the Earth is unique.
But Earth is uniquely suited for it. Our planet is big, 8,000 miles in diameter. It weighs around 6.6 sextillion tons. We have giant oceans with thousands of islands and great land masses covered with streams, rivers, mountains, deserts, ice caps. Every place on this planet has some form of life. There's just no hard evidence that any of the other planets are capable of sustaining life. It's wishful thinking on the part of the secular scientist. They assume that if life evolved here, then it surely would have evolved elsewhere in the universe too. But as we saw in an earlier episode, life didn't evolve here. It was created. So there's no reason to think it could have evolved anywhere else. What does the Bible have to say about all this?
We find when the Bible teaches on a particular topic, it's right, and astronomy is no exception. When the Bible, for example, teaches about the nature of the earth, it tells us that the earth is round or spherical, and that's exactly right. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, it talks about the circle of the earth. And that would have been hard to believe, perhaps, at the time that it was written, when most people did believe in a flat earth. Or in Job, for example, when God describes the earth as being suspended in space, hanging the earth upon nothing, the Bible says. And it also describes it as God inscribing a circle on the face of the waters at the boundary between light and darkness. Now, that only makes sense on a spherical world because, indeed, the light stops or terminates where the earth's shadow is, and that's always a circle because the earth is a spherical world. So the Bible's exactly right when it talks about the nature of the earth. And one of the things the Bible teaches is that God formed the earth to be inhabited, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18.
For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited.
And the earth alone. And again, it's based on science. Science is what you can test, you can observe, you can demonstrate, repeat, right? And what we do not observe, what has been tested but found bankrupt, is nothing ever evolves on planet Earth. And we've got the best conditions anywhere. So therefore, if nothing evolved here and we got the best conditions of anywhere in the universe, and they admit it, then is it ever going to evolve out there? Then why do you keep saying, surely there must be other life out there? If it didn't evolve here, it ain't going to evolve anywhere. That's just common sense logic. Second of all, they say, well, that's why we need to find something with water. Water. We might have Kepler-B. Water's got water. Okay. What's that prove? How many guys are glad every time you take a drink of water, you take a drink, and next thing you know, and something's evolving in your stomach and turning into something? I'm personally glad. I like just to drink it and do my own thing. Right? But what is water? Can't water has no properties. Water has, I mean, it's got properties, but it's got no intelligent power. It can't
It's and we're going to see it's intelligently designed, but it can't create life. But it's a lie. And this is all they got to prop this stuff up. So that's lie number one. But notice how they say that, because again, the whole goal from Satan is to denigrate mankind. We alone were created in God's image. We are not like the animals. We are not like plants. We are specially created in the image of God. Satan hates us because of that. Okay? And then, so what's he always do with the lie of evolution? Doesn't just try to disprove God and disprove the Bible, but it's to denigrate us. Why? Because then lots of evil could happen to us. Because if we're not special, and Earth is not special, our existence is not special. Multiverse, you're nothing. Who are you? Nothing. Earth is just a speck. There's all kinds of life out there. You're nothing special. You're not special. Nobody's special. Then guess what? Then somebody who has power and who's bigger than you can do whatever they want to you. That's what we're dealing with today. That's why these guys are doing what they're doing, because they believe in the lie of evolution, and you and I are nothing to them. That's why they treat us, those who've got the money, those who've got the power, that we are nothing. And if we want to kill and annihilate 90% of you, who cares? You're nothing. And this is the lie that Satan uses in these people's brains to justify their evil behavior, because we're nothing special. That's a lie. That's just lie number one. The second lie, back still on the earth, is they say, well, we know the earth, you know, evolved because we have proof that the earth has been here for millions and billions of years. Really? We're going to have a whole section just on the dating aspect. We're not even close to being there yet. But let me give you a teaser. Some of the ways that they produce this about the earth, and we're still on earth, is they say, well, we know the earth is millions and billions of years old because that's why the continents are in the shape that they're in. Because over millions and billions of years, they slowly, over time, separated to what we have today. But they used to be in the supercontinent called Pangaea. You guys ever heard that? Once again, like other lies of evolution, you know the only place that you find Pangaea? In the textbooks. It takes a cartoon person to draw it up because it's not science. Not only that, they're very deceitful. They're not even honest with their cartoon artwork. Pangaea is a lie. Watch this.
An evolutionist will say, so, well, don't you see that's proof of Pangaea? These continents fit together. Can't you see how South America and Africa seem to be a fit? Well, yeah, now hold on a minute. How many have ever heard of Pangaea? They teach us in the textbooks like some kind of fact, you know, all the continents used to fit together. I say, guys, now wait a minute. There's a couple things you ought to consider about this Pangaea theory before you get too excited. First of all, they'll say South America and Africa seem to fit. Yeah, my house and the neighbor's house would fit too if you slid them together. What does that prove? Nothing. It doesn't prove the street oozed up in between them and the houses slid apart, okay? It's a pure coincidence. The shape of these continents is an absolute pure coincidence based upon the water level. The evidence they use for continental drift is interesting. They'll say the shapes of the continents seem to fit. Similar fossils are found in opposite sides of the ocean. Well, that may be true. But it's also true those same fossils are found literally all over the world. Those fossils found all over the world is just as much evidence of a flood. I mean, a worldwide flood, how far could the dead animals float around? Quite a ways, right? They don't tell you they shrank Africa nearly 35 or 40% to make them fit, do they? They don't tell you that Mexico and Central America are gone. Hey, señor, ¿qué pasa? ¿Dónde está Mexico, Panama, Costa Rica, Guatemala? They don't tell you that Europe and South America were rotated counterclockwise and Africa was rotated clockwise to make them fit. And they also don't tell you what I think ought to be obvious to a kindergartner. Did you know if you took the water out of the oceans, you would notice there is dirt underneath? I mean, the oceans actually have a bottom to them. How many knew that already, okay? I mean, they do have a bottom, okay? So people say, do you think the continents were ever connected? I say, well, duh, they're still connected right now. What do you mean, were they connected? Hello, they're still connected. They've always been connected.
It's a lie. Not just a lie, and that's millions and billions of years to go. Well, first of all, they're not like lily pads floating on a pond. It's nuts. And then they had to what? Fake and alter the artwork to make it fit. And you know why people believe that? You repeat a lie loud enough, long enough, often enough, you control the secular school system. And bring in the American Communist Lawyers Union if anybody dares to think of anything or bring in contrary. And that's why people fall for it. I like what one guy says, hey man, if your so-called theory, the only evidence is lies, you need to get a new job. Stop lying to the kids. But that's what's going on. And again, you wonder why we push homeschool. But it appears to me, if you're honest and you're a seeker of the truth, then if you want to get a true account about planet Earth, then not only should you go to the scripture, but listen, true science, not altered, okay? And then that's our only trustworthy source. And it will tell you the intelligent design that we see from God, and will also give you the true age of how long we've really been here. And to give you the good news is, no, we are all specially created in the image of God. That's what the enemy doesn't want you to know, right? He wants you to pull the plug on your life or allow somebody to rule you and abuse you because you're just nothing. It's all a lie. But the Bible says that that's not true. Psalm 19, that's our opening text. Let's take a look at the earth. What evidence do we have that the earth really did come from God? Psalm 19. And of course, if you were hooked on phonics, how would you say that? Psalm, for those of you wondering, right? But we're not hooked on phonics anymore. That was the 80s craze, and praise God we made it out of the 80s. So, although, how many of you guys have seen that the mullet's coming back? Oh, it started last year, man. I saw it in Oklahoma. I thought, okay, well, that's Midwest. You expect that. Then I saw it in Florida. Oh, man, it's everywhere. Huh? Marcus. Dude, it's coming back. You know what to do, bro. It's your time to shine. You still got those same shirts. I know. I've seen you wear them. Anyways, I won't talk about your jackets. But anyway, let's move on. Psalm 19. I stalled enough time to get you there. Here's what the Word of God says, right? Psalm 19, verse 1 through 4. The heavens declare the accidental bang. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say that. What's it say? The heavens declare what? The glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of slow processes of evolution over millions and billions of years. Oh, no, what's it say? The work of whose hands? God's hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Knowledge what? Of his existence, of his handiwork. This came from God every day. Hey, God, he's here. He did it. That's what the Bible's saying, right? There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. What's he meaning? There's nobody on planet Earth. I just didn't have enough existence. Did you ever look up? Did you take 2 seconds to get off your phone, as we saw last week, and look up? There's no place that you can go. You can't see the handiwork of God. And that's what he's saying. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes into what? All the earth. Again, Romans 1, that's why he says, you're without an excuse. You ain't going to stand, I just didn't have enough evidence. No, it's everywhere. Right? Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world in the heavens. He, God, has pitched a tent for the sun. So this is what we see at the scripture. According to the Bible, we see that when we look up into the night sky, there's a lot of benefits. You see that, guess what? You see with the heavens, you see with the universe, you see with the solar system, you see with the sun and everything that God made that it, what? It gives you the common sense response. Wow. I declare the glory of God, the majesty of God. There's no way that's by chance. Look at that. Look at what God can do. As we left off last time, isn't that an encouraging thing to do? And again, I encourage you to do this. If you are ever finding yourself getting bogged down by this world, the Bible says you need to keep your mind on things above and not on this earth. Many times the enemy's got us so locked in, not just to our phones, but our eyesight is here on this earth and over again. We don't even take the time to look up in the sky, but I'm telling you, it's some of the most freeing things you can do. Man, if you feel burdened, you feel like, man, I don't know how it's going to work. And you got to just look up. Just look up in the majesty of God. Look at all. And you think that if he's got that, he created all that with a spoken word out of nothing. Colossians 1 says he upholds it. And he stains it. In other words, he keeps it from flying apart. You don't think he can't take care of you. But look up. It declares the majesty of God. But what's the problem? What does evolution say? They don't say, hey, look in the sky and see the handiwork of God. They say, hey, look at that sky. And it all came from an accidental blob. Right? So let's put it to the test. That's there. You want to believe in that? Like Bill Nye, the science guy? That's your prerogative. But is it really science? What does true science tell us? Is the earth here just an accidental blob? Or does it really show the handiwork of God? Let's take a look at some of that evidence. Earth's gravity, if it was just slight increase to Earth's gravity, the atmosphere would retain too much ammonia and methane, which are toxic to life. If there was a slight decrease to Earth's gravity, the atmosphere would lose too much water. Either case, life couldn't exist. It's not just gravity, the gravity constants we saw last time. Everywhere in the universe, even the gravity on Earth has to be exactly what it is. How about the Earth's rotation, right? The time the Earth takes to rotate on its axis is critical for weather balance. If the time on Earth to rotate once, 24 hours, were increased by a few percent, the temperature differences would be too great to support life. If it were a little slower, then atmospheric wind velocities would be too great and life would be wiped out. You'd literally be blown off the planet. And how many guys would say that people who get blown off the planet don't get married and you don't have kids? So you can't procreate, so you're dead, you're done. It's crazy, right? We just take this for, oh yeah, the Earth spins. You don't realize everything's at a timely, intelligent, tuned force, including the Earth's axial tilt. The axial tilt is important for the temperature balance. It's about 23 degrees, roughly, on its axis. If this were slightly greater, then the surface temperatures would be too great to support life. If it were slightly less, then the temperatures would likewise be too great to support life. So it's not just the gravity. It's not just the spinning rate. It's just the angle in which it hangs in space. And any one of these things being out of balance, like any one thing going wrong with the 12 parts in your little manual wind-up watch, it doesn't work. You can't have life. There's no way this happened by chance, including the next one, the magnetic field. This one's really cool. If the Earth's magnetic field was slightly less, we would have inadequate protection from the sun's radiation, and all of life would die. If it was slightly stronger, there would be constant severe magnetic storms, and life could not exist. Watch what that thing does. We take it for granted, but this is what shields us from the sun. Watch this.
The Earth also has a protective magnetic field, which basically deflects cosmic radiation, at least charged cosmic radiation.
It helps protect us from these energetic charged particles that come from space. Basically, they slam into the atmosphere, and the atmosphere takes the hit for us. In fact, the Earth's magnetic field will tend to channel a lot of those particles toward the polar regions, and when those energetic particles collide with these atoms in the upper atmosphere, you get visible light being produced, which is why we have the beautiful aurora or the northern and southern lights. But those atoms up in the atmosphere, they take the hit and they absorb a lot of those dangerous high energy charged particles that are coming from space.
You see, charged particles cannot pass directly through a magnetic field. They get distorted by that. They get moved by it. Now, if the Earth's magnetic field, if the Earth didn't have one, that would be a bit problematic for life. And that's something that we'll have to consider if humans ever want to visit Mars, for example, because Mars does not have that protective magnetic field like the Earth does. On the other hand, if the magnetic field were very strong like Jupiter's, that would kill living organisms because it would irradiate them because of the strength of that magnetic field. In fact, if the magnetic field were too strong, it would actually prevent atoms from even being formed in the first place. And so we have a magnetic field that's just right for life on Earth.
Gee, I wonder who did that. Isn't it? Look in the skies, you see, it causes you, if you're honest, to declare the majesty of God. How many times do people around our world see the aurora borealis, those lights, and they just go, oh, that's pretty cool? That in itself is showing the intelligent design that God finally tuned our Earth to protect us from the sun. It's there every time you see it. You say, oh, hey, look what God did. Thank you, God, for keeping that there. Otherwise, we'd be dead meat, right? But they don't think it. Why? Because of this lie. The lie that you're nothing, Earth is nothing, and that's just a bunch of blobs of chemicals. We're a bag of chemicals, nothing. It's a lie. How about Earth's atmosphere? Without the air in the Earth's atmosphere, there'd be no weather, no wind, no clouds, no rain, virtually no noise, because air can't travel in a vacuum and nothing could fly. All the plants and the animals and the people would die. How many guys would say with no atmosphere, they kind of ruin our day? Yeah, and again, we take this completely for granted. Now, for some strange reason, watch this design. It just so happens that we have the perfect atmosphere for life. 8/10 of the air is seemingly useless to us. 78% nitrogen, seemingly useless. But it's actually important. As it turns out, oxygen is highly combustible. And if there was no nitrogen, then the world would have burned up at the very first fire being started. John decides to do a barbecue. Thanks, John. You ruined my plans for the weekend, bro. Wish we had some nitrogen, right? Also, the remaining 1% of our atmosphere consists almost entirely of the gas argon, but small amounts of neon, helium, krypton, xenon, hydrogen, ozone, carbon dioxide, nitrous oxide, and methane gases. Now watch this. It just so happens that all these gases are invisible. And this is important because if they had any slight tinge of color to them, then darkness would block out the sun and we'd be in perpetual darkness destroying life. It's all finely tuned. Hey, you guys ever have surgery? And before you get in surgery, praise God, they got these people called anesthesiologists, right? And they just go there and go like, oh, it's just a random chaotic thing. I'm just going to start pulling knobs and putting this on you and hope you don't die. No, what do they got to do? Take your blood, you got to figure it out, and they have to finely tune the right amount of mixture so you don't die, right? Our whole atmosphere is way more incredibly fine-tuned, right? Did that anesthesiologist evolve in the back corner of millions and billions of years with the face mask and all the biomedical waste and a lightning bolt hit them and they popped up and said, hey, let me fix that for you. It's a joke. But watch this with the importance of the atmosphere.
Without our oceans and our unique atmosphere, life would be impossible here.
The Earth's atmosphere is just right. It has just the right amount of thickness for life to exist on this planet. It protects the Earth from cosmic radiation. It protects the Earth from, to some extent, from ultraviolet radiation due to a protective layer of ozone and oxygen that block ultraviolet radiation. UV light is very damaging to living cells, and so it's important that we have those that kind of atmosphere, an atmosphere of free oxygen so that we can breathe. There's no other known planet that has that.
Light energy from the sun warms the Earth's surface, which in turn warms the air close to the surface. This less dense air rises and creates wind currents. These carry carbon dioxide from areas that produce it to areas that need it. Our atmosphere is a natural thermostat to maintain thermal equilibrium suitable for life. It offers some protection from space debris as well. Without our atmosphere, Earth's surface would look a lot like the surface of the moon. Earth's tilt at 23 degrees on its axis is also well suited for life. If it were tilted less, the habitable regions would be reduced. And if the tilt were greater, seasons would become too extreme. Only God could have put all these protections in place at one time.
Yeah, that's when you look at what the facts and you're honest with the truth. And we're just talking what? Science. But then you're going to say that this, how is this not scientific? How is this not science? Yes, we're quoting the scripture, but what we're seeing is true science is catching up to what God's been saying the whole time. Right? And again, if all you have is a lie to prop up your theory, then you might want to get a different theory. You deliberately want to lie to people? Where do lies come from? John chapter 8, Satan. He's the father of all of them. Let's look at Earth's water. Boy, do we take this for granted. Pure water on Earth is colorless, odorless, and tasteless. Exactly like chicken, folks. Deal with the facts. You knew I had to work it in there somewhere, and it's true, right? Now, water covers, it just so happens, about 70% of our Earth, right? Okay, without water, plants would wilt, become flabby, and die. You know, like after you got married. You tried to stay in shape, but man, you get married, it's like, what's going on here, man? But anyway, let's just move on. It just so happens that all living things are dependent upon Earth's water in one way or another for survival. And it also just happens that even though there are other similar substances to water, only water can be a solid, a liquid, or a gas at Earth's normal range of temperature. Okay? And this is important because if water were like other substances, instead of being mysteriously unique, and there's no evolutionary reason why it shouldn't be if it's all just random, chaotic, then we would only have steam but no water, no water vapor, no clouds, no snow, no ice, and hence no life. There's something about water. In fact, water itself is extremely fine-tuned in order for life. In fact, I don't want to spoil it, but you're going to see there's many different factors. I'm only going to show a couple of them. But one of them is if it wasn't exactly the way it is, the properties of water, when we take a drink, you would die. And you would die not just from drinking it, but you need that water for your internal organs to work. Watch this. This is crazy.
It covers nearly three-quarters of our planet, and it's essential for our existence. Water is a thing of wonder and inspiration. It also happens to be uniquely fit for creatures like us. One key feature of water that promotes life is its capacity to act as a universal solvent. Water can dissolve almost anything. This allows it to be an ideal carrier of the many chemicals and minerals we need for life. Another important feature of water that enables life is its low viscosity or thickness. Different liquids can have radically different viscosities. Tar has a much higher viscosity than olive oil, and olive oil has a much higher viscosity than water. Water has one of the lowest viscosities of any common liquid, and its viscosity seems just right to facilitate life like ours. If the viscosity of water were any lower, like the viscosity of liquid hydrogen, the delicate microscopic structures in our cells wouldn't survive when subjected to outside forces. On the other hand, if water's viscosity were even slightly higher, the pumping of blood through the tiny capillaries which permeate all the organs in the body would be impossible, and our circulatory system wouldn't be able to supply enough oxygen or glucose to our muscle tissues for organisms like us to survive. In sum, the viscosity of water seems to be finely tuned for life like us.
And we drink it all day long, don't even think twice about it. And if anything was tweaked with water, just water, that we totally take for granted, everything's dead. Everything's dead. So again, you take a look at this, and I don't know about you, but I'd say that the Earth is showing evidence of it being intelligently designed, which implies what? A designer that, hey, declare the glory of God. This is amazing. Look at what he's made, right? In fact, I'd say anybody said that it wasn't designed by God, looking at the facts, you're acting like you're about as sharp as a bowling ball. Now, let that set in, because I thought that was funny. Sharp as a bowling ball. If I have to explain it, you ruin it, but let me explain it anyway. A bowling ball is round. How many of you guys realize there's no corners on a bowling ball? But apparently that's why Sir Isaac Newton said the same thing. What? Isn't he called the father of science? Aren't you supposed to trust the science? What did the father of science say? He said this most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and the dominion of an intelligent and powerful being. What did Isaac Newton, the father of science, tell us? Basically, if you think that the universe, the solar system, dare I say the earth, was created by chance, you're acting like you're about as sharp as a bowling ball. See, now you got it because I explained it to you, Bob, but praise God, we'll give it to you. Okay, but that's not all. The fourth evidence, let's go down. Now remember, telescope, down to the microscope. Now we're going to the human body, right? We're going to, okay, now what's going on planet Earth? And again, how many guys are on planet Earth right now? Raise your hand. There's still some of you didn't raise your hand, man. You're freaking me out, right? I don't know what you are. But anyway, that's right. The human body, right? Let's take a look at some of that evidence, okay? And use your own brain that God created. And don't you love it when the scripture says, come, let us reason together? Isn't that the lie that people put on? Oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you're one of those people. You guys are so dumb. You got duped by that preacher guy ripping you off your money. And you got to have some book tell you what to do, right? That used to be my mentality. But, you know, you guys are just really dumb. In fact, you know, I would never become a Christian, because as soon as you become a Christian, you got to check your brain in at the door. How many guys heard that lie? No, God says, come, let us reason together. He wants you to use the brain. Because when you use your brain and you're honest and you use common sense and logic in the brain that he gave you, you're going to see, hey, there's no way evolution is true. That's a lie. And so let's take a look at this. Whether we came from an accidental blob or the handiwork of God. And again, I could be here multiple weeks just on the human body, but let me just give you some highlights, okay? How about our internal organs? Did you know the kidneys contain approximately 280 miles of tubes, and they filter 185 quarts of water a day from our blood? Aren't you guys glad that even though it took millions and billions of years for this new facility that we moved in here 3 years ago, it finally evolved into its present form, including the whole plumbing system, and it works perfectly. Isn't that awesome? If I really believe that, what would you say? You're as sharp as a bowling ball. Go ahead, work with it. Now, this is the third time I got it out there, right? No, it's like, folks, our internal organs are the most sophisticated plumbing system anywhere. And you're going to say it happened by chance? Oh, it couldn't happen with this building, but it happened with that? It's crazy. How about the heart? Did you know the heart pumps 5,000 gallons of blood a day and beats approximately 100,800 times a day, or 2,500,000,000 times in the average lifetime? That's a really good motor, John. How many guys would like to have that in your truck? Right? How many guys would realize that that's not in that Elon Musk Cybertruck? Do you guys ever see the inspiration for the Cybertruck? It was those trucks that we drew in third grade as men. Remember those things? And it ended up, wow, there it is. He did a complete copy. You know what I'm talking about, but let's move on. Right? So is that where we get engines in our cars? Millions and billions of years. And we threw in a bunch of bolts and waited for a couple lightning bolts and a windstorm. That's always important. Throw in some mud. And then, but you're going to say the heart evolved? That's pretty crazy. Did you know our bodies replace over 1 trillion cells a day? The lining of our digestive tract turns over about every 2 days faster if you eat spicy Mexican food. And we know that's true, so let's just move on. Did you know our bodies make about 2 to 10 million blood cells every second? And if you lined up the red blood cells in one person's body, they go end to end around the equator 4 times. That's some micro precision inside of our body. It's just scooting around with the blood, right? Did you know that taking a simple bite of food is an absolute miracle? The whole digestive system is showing a precisely timed, intelligent process. And if anyone were wrong, you would die the first time you took a bite. Watch this.
Digestion begins the moment you take a bite. Food is shuttled from the mouth to the stomach via the esophagus, a ride that will take about 5 to 8 seconds. The peristalsis is the involuntary muscular force that propels food through the digestive tract. It almost looks like an ocean wave pushing food from one organ to the next. When food reaches the end of your esophagus, a ring-like muscle called the lower esophageal sphincter relaxes and lets the food pass into your stomach. The stomach is where the real action begins. Digestive juices and enzymes break down the food that you swallowed. This helps make nutrients available for absorption later in the small intestine. The digestive juices are powerful hydrochloric acids that kill pathogens in food and gives the stomach the low pH digestive enzymes need. This acid could literally dissolve most of the other organs in your body. Luckily, your stomach contains a thick mucus lining. The stomach slowly empties its contents into your small intestine. The muscles of the small intestine mix food with digestive juices from the pancreas, liver, and intestine, and push the mixture forward for further digestion. The walls of the small intestine are covered by tiny finger-like projections called villi. These projections increase the surface area through which nutrients can be absorbed into your bloodstream. As peristalsis continues, the waste products of the digestive process move into the large intestine.
And I won't show the rest of the video. You know what happens after that. Restrooms are over there. But you're going to say that happened, that evolved by chance? You see all the processes that are going on? I didn't show you them all. All the processes going on, just taking a bite of food so you don't die? But if anything got wrong or even wasn't just a little, you're dead? There's no way that happened by chance. And that's just our taking a bite of food that we take for granted, let alone the water, right? This is crazy. How did any of these internal organs, and there's tons more, we can be here with every single organ in the body, folks. Okay, how did any of those evolve? And at what stage of development could a person survive unless all of them appeared all at the same time fully functioning? Now stop and think about that. What's the whole premise of evolution? We came from the goo to the zoo to me and you. Right, rained on the rocks for millions of years and created this so-called simple cell. There is no such thing as a simple cell. I'll get to that in a second. But this from so-called simple cell from this cosmic goo, right, it evolved into, I guess, another bigger cell and then a bunch more cells. Okay, well, let's just focus on the human body, let alone all of creation. How does that work? I mean, just logically, how could that ever even work? The only place this exists is in the textbooks. But so it's a cell. But okay, let's just look at our organs. What if somehow, some way, over millions of years, okay, you evolved into a half of a liver. What good is that? You don't have any lungs. Oh, and you need two lungs. Carbon copies on either side. What if you only evolved one quarter of one heart? How are you going to live? How are you going to have babies? How are you going to procreate? Oh, and by the way, not just the whole human body, but then you got to find something that just so happens to be the exact opposite of you, the opposite sex, and then you have to be able to be compatible. You have to get married, and then you got to be... What if you only had one third of a brain? That's... You know where I'm going. But we don't want to cause division in the body of Christ, and we don't want to be too mean to the evolutionists out there. But folks, all of your organs are not only designed, but listen, common sense tells you they all have to be there, all fully functioning, all finely tuned, or it's impossible. There's no way that's by chance. No way. How about the skin? Did you know the lining of our skin turns over about every 2 to 4 weeks and that we shed, listen, about 40 pounds of skin in a lifetime? That's my diet plan. I ain't doing nothing, folks. And I'm guaranteed I lost 40 pounds. I don't know when that 40 is going to hit, but I'm just letting you know the good news, Enrique. 40 pounds, dude. Dude, I've lost 40 pounds. Somewhere around there. Huh? But then that's kind of weird because, wait a second, you lost 40 pounds. That means wherever you go, you're shedding skin. Maybe that's why old couches weigh so much. You ever buy one at a garage sale? You need a forklift to haul that thing out of there. Never do that again, Bob. Speaking of which, how many of you are on that chair you're sitting in right now? Yeah. Yeah, Deacon Jones from the 70s, he's still there, folks, right there on that third chair. At least his DNA skin sample is. But anyway, let's move on. Wow, our ears. Did you know what just happens? The ear is not only capable of responding to sound, but it does so at a pressure on the eardrum that is no greater than 2/10,000 of a millionth of barometric pressure. And did you know this minuscule pressure moves the eardrum about 1/100,000,000th of an inch, which is approximately 1/100,000th the width of a hydrogen molecule, which is the tiniest of all molecules. Very precise. And the facts are our ears that you are using to listen to right now, and we just happen to have two of them, is nothing but intelligent design. Watch this.
Inside your ear, sounds set off a complex chain of events. They enter as pressure waves, which push, pull your eardrum, making it vibrate. On the other side of the eardrum, these vibrations set a series of bones jiggling. They end with the smallest bone in your entire body, called the sternum. It is smaller than a grain of rice. These bones allow you to hear. If a sound is too loud, a muscle pulls the stirrup away from the most sensitive parts. Temporarily, at least, you go a bit deaf, but the rest of your ear is protected. Beyond the stirrup is a fluid-filled cavern, your cochlea. The incoming sound waves tickle clumps of tiny, hair-like sensors on the floor. These begin to dance to the sounds of the world outside. You have 30,000 sensors. Each picks out a different part of the sound and sends it straight to your brain.
Isn't that supposedly evolved by chance? You know what's crazy about that? That was I deliberately got that one because did you see what was in the left-hand corner there? BBC. How many of you guys realize that BBC is not a Christian organization and they don't promote creationism? But here you are looking at one of the most incredibly designed pieces of the human body called the ear. And you look at it, and then you go, yeah, all by chance. You deliberately forget. How could you look at that? It's because you don't want there to be a God. You'd rather believe on something dumb on purpose. There's just no way. How did the ear ever evolve, let alone the abilities to function at submolecular level? And why didn't it explode the first time a non-molecular noise came along? Oh, and by the way, how do we end up at two of them at the same time? There's no way, folks. Not even the ear. How about our eyes? Did you know the eyes, the most complex system, way more complex than any camera we ever designed? Oh, by the way, where do we get our cameras? Was it Rob? Fortunately, on his way over here, he was able to pick up these 4K cameras that we use for live broadcast and recording. And over millions and billions of years, Rob was fortunate to find a big old pile of metal and twisted stuff that just popped up on the scene over erosion and wind exfoliation and things of this nature. And John, he threw some sticks on it for good measure. And he waited. Rob waited. He's been around. Rob, you've been here for what? Millions and millions of years. So, hey, listen, if you're going to make up a story, I'm going to make up one too. So, and then all of a sudden, out pop these cameras that we use. And if we really believe that, what would you say? Say it, Bob. No, I'm not a bowling ball. Sharp as a bowling ball. Get it right. But anyway, that's right. No. Then why would you say our eyes? Folks, this is crazy. You look it square in the face, and you would rather be deliberately dumb. It doesn't make sense, right? But listen, they admit they don't even know how it fully, completely works. Watch this. The human eye completes 100,000 separate functions in a single day. It even conducts its own maintenance work while we sleep. All that, we're just sleeping and the eye's fixing itself. But that's not all. It also has, listen, automatic aim, focus, aperture adjustment, provides color, 3D images. It can automatically function from darkness to bright instantly. How did that evolve? Cameras don't evolve, but our eye evolved. And how many we got? Two, kind of like the ear thing. You just happen to have a carbon copy on the other side. I'm sure that's by chance. No, it isn't. Watch this.
Eyes have been called the windows to the soul because we use them to express emotion, and they are quite beautiful. These are secondary functions, but still very important. Our eyes' most important function, of course, is giving us vision. So how does this work? We have two lenses called the cornea and lens proper, which work much like lenses on a camera, only much better. These lenses form in the womb when embryonic skin turns into a clear window. The normal blood vessels, hair, and sweat glands that grow in your skin are missing from this small area, though it's filled with sensitive nerves. These lenses change shape depending on the available light and can automatically adjust over a range of 10 billion to 1. 12 muscles, 6 for each eye, control the movement of our eyes and lenses. If these muscles or our eyes were even slightly misaligned, we would see double. It's as if our eyes have been designed with incredible precision. Now, the cornea catches the light bouncing off objects and it travels to the pupil, a round hole in our eye. The iris, the colored part of your eye, regulates the amount of light allowed into the pupil by opening and closing. Now, this changes the size of the pupil. The light then goes to the lens proper, which is flexible and focuses the light on our retina, a thin layer of tissue with millions of light-sensing nerve cells called rods and cones. These cells convert light into electrical impulses, which travel up the optic nerve to be understood by the brain. That's quite the process. And all of that happens without you having to bat an eyelash, so to speak.
Take it for granted. Notice everything goes back to the brain. It's all interconnected. The individual pieces are incredibly designed, but they all feed back to a central system. And it's just, there's just no way, folks. Speaking of the brain, it's the most complex mechanism in the world. How did this thing ever evolve? It didn't, folks. It happens to be the most influential organ in our bodies. Everything's tied to it. It enables us to think, to remember, to feel, to reason, to imagine, to analyze. It controls hearing, sight, smell, speech, eating, resting, learning, and everything else we do, the way we behave. It's all centered around the brain. The average brain weighs 3 pounds, yet it contains 12 billion cells. Each one's connected to 10,000 other brain cells, making 120 trillion connections. Amazing. In fact, the brain stores so much memory data that by the age of 40, watch this, it would take the Empire State Building full of computers just to store the same amount of information. Yeah, you can read what I put there with your brain and your eyes, both of them. I don't want to start a church split, but you know it's true. But are you serious? That's an amazing. Hard drives. What are hard drives for? Where do hard drives come from? Millions and billions of years, and Radio Shack blew up and a fire started. And no, they're designed by engineers with intelligence, but our brain is way more designed. What? You're looking at it square in the face, and you'd rather turn around. You deliberately forget. That's exactly what the Bible says. How about our DNA? It's the most, the molecule in our bodies, DNA molecule, is the most complex molecule in the whole universe. Its code is so unbelievably complex that if you typed it all out, it would create enough books to fill Grand Canyon 40 times. And that's not even half of it. Maybe later in a future study, we'll get into that. But the DNA, the code, they can talk about the code, the DNA helix and all the stuff and the code and all the stuff. And they can slice and dice and do all that stuff. But it's not just showing intelligence, right? But the code is written intelligently forward and backwards. And some of it overlaps, and it still shows intelligence. That's impossible. It's just amazing. In fact, the average person in this room has 50 trillion cells in their body, each cell of those cells having 46 chromosomes. That's a massive amount. If you took all your chromosomes out of your body, they'd only fill up 2 tablespoons. It's massive. It's just micromanagement on a level we can't even fathom. It's amazing. It's not only complex, but if you stretch them out, tied them all together, one person's chromosomes would reach the Earth and Moon and back 5 million times. That is amazingly complex. In fact, the whole molecular structure of our body shows intelligent design. Now, we're looking at organs. We're looking at eyes. We're looking at kidneys. We're looking at all the heart, all that stuff. But it's all designed from things called what? A cell. And what's the evolution say? We all came from a simple cell. There is no such thing. Just the cell that turns into all the organs is amazingly complex. Watch this.
In 1957, Francis Crick first proposed that chemicals called bases along the spine of the DNA molecule function as alphabetic characters in a written language or digital characters in a machine code. This animation shows how this digital information directs protein synthesis. First, a large protein complex separates the tightly wound strands of the DNA to prepare it to be copied. During this process of transcription, a protein complex called a polymerase produces a single-stranded copy of the original instructions. Here we see this copy, a messenger RNA molecule, being constructed inside the polymerase as individual bases are positioned and added to the growing strand. Now we see the polymerase in action from the outside as it spits out the messenger RNA transcript. Next, this RNA transcript approaches and passes through a molecular machine called the nuclear pore complex, an information recognition device that controls the flow of information in and out of the cell's nucleus. Now we see the genetic assembly instructions on the messenger RNA approaching and arriving at a two-part chemical factory called a ribosome, the site of protein synthesis. As the messenger RNA transcript passes through the ribosome, the process of translation begins. During translation, a mechanical assembly line builds a specifically sequenced chain of amino acids in accord with the instructions on the transcript. These amino acids are transported from other parts of the cell by molecules called transfer RNAs, which link specific sequences of bases to corresponding amino acids. The sequential arrangement of the amino acids determines the type of protein constructed. When the construction of the chain is complete, it is transported to a barrel-shaped machine that helps fold it into the precise shape required to perform its function. After the chain is folded into a protein, it is released into the outer cytoplasm to do its job in the cell.
Looks like a whole universe in there. So much for a simple cell. There is no simple cell. There never has been. That's crazy. We have the science. We can see this. There's no way that happened by chance. You guys ever see that show, How It's Made?
In 1950.
Right? And in that show, you know, they pick something, usually a couple different ones for the show,
And then they like, how they make shovels or how they make this or whatever. Well, just go back down there. You know, they show you the whole process. Well, at first they start with this block of metal, and then they squish it and heat it up and whatever, whatever, and it comes out through the pan of the shovel. And then it goes through this machine down the conveyor belt, and then it stamps it out, whatever. But then they got this wood, and they got to bring this wood guy in, and it's whatever, and he does it, and he lays it down, whatever. And then they got to bring it through this, and it timely and times the handle into the stock of the shovel and whatever, and they go, and it goes down the line. And then they got to package them, whatever, and then it goes into a warehouse, and they distribute them to hardware stores all over across America. What you just saw was way more complex than a factory that makes shovels. And I would assume that we understand that shovels don't happen by chance over millions and millions of years. All carefully timed along a process. People watch that show all the time, how it's made. But then they see how the human body was made. Yep, happened by chance. You deliberately forget. Which leads to the last one. There's no way any of this evolved by chance. Certainly the cells, the organs, everything. But guess what the cells do? At the moment of conception, they make something called a baby. How many guys were born a baby? Yeah, praise God. The same people who didn't raise your hand saying you're on planet Earth, maybe that's the problem. You're not a human. But anyway, that's right, but I digress. But folks, just that we call it the miracle of birth for a reason. You mean to tell me this evolved by chance? Going from a cell at conception to a baby. Watch this.
From conception to labor, your baby is constantly growing and developing. Your baby's heart will begin to beat. At 27 weeks, they'll have regular sleep and wake cycles. And at 39 weeks, your baby will be physically developed. When you ovulate and conceive. Over the next several days, the fertilized egg will start dividing into multiple cells as it travels down the fallopian tube, enters your uterus, and burrows into the uterine lining. You're now about 4 weeks from the beginning of your last period. This ball of cells, called a blastocyst, has begun to produce the pregnancy hormone, HCG. This hormone tells your ovaries to stop releasing eggs and can be detected by a pregnancy test. A mere 16 days after conception, your fetus's neural plate forms. Think of it as the foundation of your baby's brain and spinal cord. The neural plate folds onto itself to form the neural tube, which closes by about week 6 of pregnancy, to eventually become the brain and spinal cord. At 2 months pregnant, the cluster of cells that will become your baby's heart has begun to develop. Your baby's face and buds, which will eventually be limbs, begin to develop. Organs such as the brain, sensory organs, and the digestive tract begin to take shape. Your baby has what looks like a little tail. It will recede after a few weeks and form the tailbone. At 3 months pregnant, the embryo already has a human appearance. The limbs, hands, feet, fingers, and toes are recognizable. Their skin is so thin that you can see the blood vessels beneath it. Though reproductive organs have begun to form, they can't yet be determined on an ultrasound or sonogram. By the end of the 3rd month, your baby is fully formed. They weigh about 1 ounce and are 4 inches long. Since your baby's most critical development has occurred, your chance of miscarriage drops considerably after 3 months into the pregnancy. During the 2nd trimester, very fine wisps of hair appear on your baby's body. This is called lanugo and plays a critical role in protecting the fetus from damaging substances found in amniotic fluid. Your baby's senses, smell, vision, touch, taste, and hearing are developing, and they may be able to hear your voice. Your baby's eyelids are still fused shut, but they can sense light. If you shine a flashlight on your tummy, they'll move away from the beam. Their movements have gone from flutters to full-on kicks and jabs against the walls of your womb. Starting in week 36, your baby gains about 0.5 pound and grows 0.5 inch a week. Many babies turn head down and stay in that position until birth.
That's a secular video. And what does it show you? They know. We have the science. We have the technology. They know that is a baby at the moment of conception. And yet, did you guys see this? We live in the days where the Democrat Party is running on this platform. Watch this.
Well, I'm coming to you live from the DNC, and guess who else is here? Planned Parenthood. Of course they are. They're in town for the DNC, and they're giving away more than just T-shirts, more than just stickers. Listen to this. They are handing out free abortions and vasectomies. Emily, when you combine this with Kamala Harris being the first vice president to visit an abortion-providing facility like Planned Parenthood, at a certain point, this starts to feel like celebrating abortion.
Oh, it most definitely is.
So, as we saw in our 8-week study on abortion, the mass murder of children, if you want to have an effective conversation with them, stop using their terms. Abortion is the word they use to hide the reality of what's really going on. You're murdering a child. I have a right to abortion. Excuse me? You're saying I have a right to murder a child. Nobody has a right to murder a child. It's my body. Yeah, if you want to murder your body, I don't recommend that. I guess that's your choice. But that's a baby's body you're murdering. That's not your choice. And so the Democrat Party right now is celebrating we have a right to murder babies. And if you put us back in office, we'll make sure you can murder more babies. And what is the lie that they use to justify that? They say what you just saw deliberately dumb on purpose, and they know it's not true. That's not a baby. This is literally what they say. That's a blob of cells. That's not a baby until birth. But even now, they're saying, well, we might want to have the option to kill them after birth. That's on tape. And what do? They make money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. They make money off of murdering the children. And you know why they push it to the third trimester? Because you get the most money then. The abortion clinics, the child murdering clinics, if you murder the child early on, maybe a couple grand. You get them that late, at least 10 grand or more, upwards of 15. And then why they really want them that late is because they turn around and they sell the body parts to the pharmaceutical industry, and they make not millions, billions of dollars. And what did Romans 1 say? See, they use evolution to justify this. Don't worry, it's not a child, it's a blob of cells. You are suppressing the truth of God's existence, and you're inviting the wrath of God. This is a dangerous lie that we need to stand up against. And it's not even based on science. But again, Satan protects this lie with a vengeance. Why? Because he hates mankind. John chapter 8, he's a liar and the father of all lies, including evolution. But what's it also say there? He's a murderer. And he's been one from the beginning. He knew when Adam and Eve, he'd get them to sin. They wouldn't just mess up their walk with God. It would kill them. You will surely die. And so he keeps that lie going for people to abuse us, bring us back to tyranny. The strongest, the fittest shall survive. We're nothing special. They can do whatever they want. They want to annihilate 90% of the population. Who cares? Who are you to say you're nothing and nobody? And if we want to murder millions of people, we can do it because that's not even a child. It's all a lie. And Satan knows it, and he's laughing because that's what he wants. He hates us. He wants to kill as many humans as he can. And it's all based on a lie. But as you can see, science proves, true science, that there's no way that the human body evolved by chance. And dare I say, as we close one more time, Bob, if anybody says it did, they're acting like what? Bob, it's getting late, bro. We got to close this out. Sharp as a bowling ball, right, Bob? Sharp as a bowling ball. Anyway, that's right. And apparently that's why this guy, Werner Arver, he's a Nobel Prize winner in medicine. Listen to what he said. He said, although a biologist, and he's just being honest with the facts, as you should be, I must confess, I don't understand how life came about. Listen, the possibility of the existence of a creator of God represents to me, listen, to be a satisfactory solution to the problem. Right?
What's he saying? There's no way this happened by chance. The universe, the solar system, the earth, the human body, the miracle of birth, there is no simple. Are you kidding me? It had to be from God. And that's what the scripture says. That's why we should declare his majesty wherever we look. But that's just that. Believe it or not, did you know Charles Darwin said the same thing? And I quote, this is a quote from Charles Darwin. If you think, this is what he said, if you think the eye, okay, suppose that the eye could have been formed by natural selection, this is Charles Darwin, to suppose that the eye could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree. That's from Darwin. It's a joke, folks. And it's being used against us. It's way bigger than just, well, it's a battle of worldviews and they don't want to believe in God. Well, that's true. But it undermines everything that we believe in. And that's true. But it's being used to murder people, control people, because we're nothing. And we need to stand up to it. But, Lord willing, next time, we're going to continue on planet Earth to the other things that God made. And it rhymes with the animal kingdom. You know why? Because it's the animal kingdom. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much again for our study tonight. And thank you for just allowing us to use the brains that you gave us to look at something that we would say is just, oh, it's just common sense. But as we're seeing that even though, even the atheists around this, the evolutionists, the dare I say the global elites, they're looking at the evidence of your handiwork from everything, including the human body, a baby being born. They look at square in the face and just choose to be dumb on purpose. Because they don't want there to be you, a God. But it doesn't make it true. And so, God, our hearts go out to them. Because at one point in time, each one of us were in a similar position. We weren't saved. We rebelled against you. We mocked you. We scoffed at you and Christianity and the Bible. We laughed at Christians too. We called them dumb. And so, God, help us to get equipped, not just for us. We know you exist. And we thank you for encouraging us, even not only biblically, most importantly, but scientifically, logically, philosophically. You're showing us so much evidence that, man, we are special. Man, you're awesome, God. And if you could design all of life like this, that means you got an intelligent design for this life too. But God, we need to get equipped to tell people around us. They're being lied to. They've got control of the media, the school system. And if we don't speak up, they ain't going to get it. Because there's a stranglehold on the information on the issue of origins. And so God, get us equipped to share with people so they can be saved before it's too late. And as always, God, if there's anybody here tonight or watching online, if they're not born again, use this study, God. Use the power of your word by your spirit. Draw them to you tonight, that they would receive Jesus as their Savior and receive the gift of eternal life. We love you, Jesus, and thank you so much for all that you've done. Thank you for the miracle of birth, and thank you for the miracle of the spiritual birth, causing us to be born again so that we could have life forevermore with you, our Creator. Please bless this study. We ask all this in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave, and the Bible says you will be saved.
Well, this has been Billy Crone of Gill Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly, and please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.